Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Mososi, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, and how are you today?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you today?
Doing very well.
Fantastic. You've had a good day?
Yes, it's been a good day.
Ah, lovely. Great to hear that. Well, we're continuing with our conversation from yesterday. And, we see that the Bible has a lot to say about the character of God. And we're going to be getting into a deeper sense of who is He in today's talk. So please tell us about the character of God the Father. He seems to be strict, no-nonsense type of character. Please tell us more.
Thank you so much for this question. The subject of God's character is very significant for us. The reason why we worship Him and the reason why we expect to be saved by Him is because of the kind of a character that He is. One of the strategies that the devil is using is to kind of distort the character of God, because he knows that once we have a distorted picture of the character of God, then we cannot trust Him. We are scared of coming to Him, and so the relationship between Him and us gets ruptured when we don't understand His character. So, you have asked the...
Yeah.
What sort of a character does God have?
Yeah. I did ask that. And one of the reasons I'm asking is that, God is this, and I did mention in my question that He's a no-nonsense God, if some people are misbehaving, you read in the Old Testament, He says, go for them. I need you to go there, annihilate those people and wipe them from the face of the earth. And in some area, He opens the earth and people are swallowed by the earth, etc., etc. Is this a reflection of His character?
Okay. throughout the scriptures, you discover that when those people were annihilated by God, first of all, God spared them because He said the cup of their iniquity is not yet full. Only when the cup of their iniquity was full did God wipe them out. But I just want to start by saying that God has revealed His character in the scriptures. And we will discuss some of those aspects that you have mentioned. But I want to say, first of all, when we read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, it just tells us God is love.
Mm.
God is the personification of love. The reason why you and me are so, sometimes we find ourselves being so loving. We love our children. We love our parents. We love our, those who are close to us. The reason why we are so loving is because we are sharing a little bit of the attribute of God, who is loving and so gentle. So we are sharing that attribute of Him.
Mm.
But I want to reveal, to also share with you what God has revealed about His own character in Exodus chapter 34.
Yeah.
Exodus chapter 34, I'm going to read from verse 6 to 7. It says, and the Lord passed before him, that's before Moses, and then he proclaimed, the Lord, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, that means very patient, and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquities and transgression and sin. That's the character that God has revealed to us about himself. But then the last part, I think, may allude to what you were saying. But by no means clearing the guilt, visiting the iniquities of the fathers. Now that's what you are talking about. And that's what you need to understand. Okay, so first of all,
to the fourth generation, God, does it not say?
Pardon, yes. It's visiting the iniquities up to the fourth generation. Iniquities of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generations. Now, when God is visiting us with the iniquities of our fathers, it's when we ourselves have also partaken of that evil. And if we have become part of that evil, then there is the visitation that we may expect from God. But I want us, I think you want us to, I want us to talk about the justice of God, stern justice of God.
Yeah, that's what we want to talk about. Because it seems that he's a character of two extremes. On the one hand, extremely loving and caring, and on the other, exact opposite, you know. So please go ahead, talk about the justice.
Ah, yes. God is not only merciful and gracious, but then God also has to exercise justice in the universe, justice in the world. Because without justice, there is no love that you can, no love without justice. Yes, so justice is a part of his character, is an aspect of his character. Yes, let me share with you Romans chapter 1, verse 18, about the justice, about it talks about God's wrath. God's wrath towards sin. I think that's what we have been talking about. That's the your question is about, isn't it? The wrath of God towards sin. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men."
Right.
Okay? You hear that?
Yeah.
So God demonstrates his wrath against sin. Because God is a righteous God. And anything that sin is an affront to his character. Sin is an affront to the character of God. And it threatens the security of the universe. So sin is a threat to the security of the universe. And God must deal with it decisively. You understand that point.
I'm understanding. I'm following you.
Yes. But here is also a very interesting way. Whilst God deals very sternly with sin, he is very gentle with sinners.
Okay.
I'll share with you.
That's quite seemingly contradictory. Please explain further.
Okay. Let me explain by sharing what God says in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 24 to 26. Okay. The Lord says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel.
Right.
He says, I will rid myself of my adversaries. God has adversaries. I will rid myself of my adversaries and take vengeance on my enemies. That's verse 24.
Yeah.
Verse 25, I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly. Now, the last part of this verse is a very interesting one.
Mm.
God says, I'm turning my hand against you. And then he says, and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy, and I will restore your judges as at first.
Mm.
You see, this is God who is angry with sin.
Mm.
He's angry at sin, not with sin, at sin. So when God is angry at sin, he says, I'm going to visit you, and thoroughly, when he visits us, he thoroughly purges our iniquity. Do you get that?
Mm, mm.
So in other words, when I am committing sin against God, God decides to visit me in his anger, in his wrath against sin. But as he visits, he thoroughly purges out the sin in me. And he says, afterwards, verse 26, afterwards you shall be called a city of righteousness, the faithful city. Are you seeing a different aspect of God's wrath?
Beautiful, beautiful stuff indeed. Now, let's draw to a close of our conversation and want to understand, what does it mean to fear God and give him glory?
Oh, okay. To fear God and give him glory. Fearing God, to fear God is simply to reverence him. So many times people use the name of the Lord in vain. They use the name of the Lord for jokes, all kinds of jokes, using the name of the Lord. But God is so great. He is the one who saves us, and we always have to take his name with reverence. I have a very deep-rooted, a very deep relationship with my wife. And the last thing I want to do is to do anything that severs that relationship. I fear to do anything that severs the relationship between me and her. But that fear doesn't mean that when I meet her, I am filled with dread. It simply means I respect her so much and I love that relationship so much that anything that may sever the relationship, I try to avoid.
Yeah. Beautiful stuff, beautiful stuff. So anything that may sever, I like what you're saying, anything that may sever that relationship, that's what we should try and be careful of as humanity. Lastly, the issue of fearing God has got nothing to do with being scared, to be terrified. I need you to be, please put it in very simple, plain language.
when we approach God, we are entering into a very close, intimate relationship. When you have that relationship with God, you will discover that God is such a loving person. You enjoy fellowship with him. There is no dread. There is no apprehension, but there is that reverence. So fearing God is just to reverence him.
Lovely.
It's a name that we respect and honor.
Is there a difference between the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament? We've had people suggesting that there is.
Well, the God who we encounter in the Old Testament is the same God who we encounter in the New Testament. Jesus himself said in the book of John chapter 5, I can't locate the verse right now, John chapter 5, he said, Moses wrote about me. Isn't it interesting? Jesus says, when Moses was writing the first five books of Moses, he was writing about Christ. So the God in the Old Testament is Christ.
Beautiful.
The God, in the Exodus is Christ, and the God who we meet at creation, the God who said, let us make a man in our own image, is Christ. There is only one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus. Throughout the Old Testament, Christ is the one who is revealed. He is the revelation of God.
Mm. Well, beautiful. Pastor, I must thank you so much for coming through. We're going to be connecting with you one last time tomorrow at the same time and same place. But for today, we want to thank you so much for coming through. Blessings to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Blessings. Thanks.
Okay.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.